Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined by an old mate. We played a bit of cricket with him in the past. He is a former Stranglers frontman, songwriter. Hugh Cornwell was in. He's written a novel, hasn't he?
He has. A dystopian vision.
It is. Dystopian, what you are. We were joined by a guy called Steve Hasty, who has done some brilliant work with food banks up in Newcastle, and fantastic work by Newcastle fans to support them instead of spending 15 quid on pay-per-view football. So he'll tell you more about how that panned out. And Johan Cruyff, the musical,
Andy. I can't wait.
Next year in Holland, we've had an invitation from the director, love. We're going. We're on the Eurostar. We're go. Yeah, it sounds quite interesting. So, anyway, that's all that. We had a chat. Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. And I say at the top there, Andy's a terrible man, because Fletcher was just giving us the news and sport there. He's a big Woking fan. And there's some news today that there's a bit of American investment in Woking. We were asking him if he was pleased about this. He said, well, look, it's very early days. They're working at it at the moment. And I said, are they big hitters? And Andy rather cruelly jumps in, of course they're not big hitters. They're buying Woking.
Exactly.
Well, look, they might be. They might be wanting to start something from the ground up. A small investment initially. When they beat you in the Champions League.
Yeah, okay.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? Joe Shannon at the bridge. It's all over. Yes, it's finished. Chelsea nil. Woking.
If only Andy Jacobs had been alive to see it.
Andy Jacobs will now have to run around the streets of Chelsea in his underpants,
as
he
promised.
Point. You'll be doing that anyway.
I probably
you'll
will.
Be escaping.
I've got a question.
Oh, yeah.
Are they doing refunds on West Brom v Burnley?
I'm afraid not.
I mean, what a shame.
There's no quality guarantee or your money back. You didn't spend £14.95,
no,
did you?
Of course
you?
I didn't.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you'd love your football, Andy, if you did.
And I watched Leeds versus Wolves last night with the VAR from Saturday. David Coote doing the game. And yeah, but he didn't have a bad game, to be fair to him. I thought he reffed quite well.
Yeah.
But I was just waiting for Oliver to saw him off. Like, as soon as it was, he gave a yellow card that was right. I was thinking, no, go on, Oliver, shout. No, that's a red, I'm afraid.
Well, there was one moment, wasn't there, when Jimenez kicked out at Robin.
Oh, that
Cup,
one.
Wasn't it?
Oh, pardon.
The thing
that.
Is, the
I was thinking
that was no different to Rudiger and Son.
No.
The only difference
it
is
was
the,
worse.
It was
well,
but okay.
It was much worse than I've written down. I'd love to see Son's face when he sees it.
No,
it
but
was
the,
much
the
worse.
Difference
than the
difference is,
one.
Andy, was the reaction of the player who was kicked. Rudiger made a lot of it and got a player sent off. I'm not blaming him for that. That's what footballers do, and someone's an idiot to do it. But that's the difference. If Robin Koch had gone down, that would have been him off. He would have had no choice. If he'd gone down, it's a bit of an unfortunate name considering where he kicked him.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what I mean? Had he gone down there? I wonder what Bielsa thinks, because, you know, the old dark arts in the world of Argentinian football.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if he said to him afterwards, why didn't you kind of grab your crotch and start rolling about?
It doesn't matter. It still should have been a red card.
Because he would have gone.
I
know.
Incredible.
That shouldn't make any difference, but that's the only difference, the fact that the Leeds player shrugged it off.
And I was watching the game last night, though, and really enjoying it. And I love the way Leeds play. And I was thinking there are so many good teams in the league this year. It's quite amazing. And in a normal season, you'd imagine a lot of drawn games, but this year, who knows? But there are, you know, the quality, the standard is really high. There's no question about it. You remember yesterday we were talking about Colonel Captain Sir Tom Moore.
Cool, you're giving him more titles.
I like to. He's got an extra one every day.
Yeah.
He got an MCC membership, honorary MCC membership. And I was thinking last night, wouldn't it be great if he turned up in the pavilion and he took Finger's seat? He had to stand. I think that would be really good.
Do the listeners know who Fingers is? Or are you just having a conversation with me?
No,
this
no.
is the bloke. Whenever you look at the pavilion, look at the guy who's got the most stripy MCC gear on. The socks, the hat, the tie, the face. Everything. Everything is MCC. And this is a bloke that we know through the Bunburys. He did a corker to me. He obviously moves in very different circles. He once said to me, "Where did you go to school?" The Martin Bormann Comprehensive, mate. What do you think I went to school?
Yeah, it's true. Well, there you go. What can you do? And watching the football last night, the first ad, it was very nice, actually. It was a sort of promo, Sky promo for Giacomo, the beauty of big. And I was thinking, this is nice. They don't like to have anything in my size. I think I'm a triple extra small then.
Yeah. Well, you're not Giacomo country, are you?
Of course I'm not.
Basically, Freddie Flint's obviously seen as quite a small man. In Giacomo circles,
he probably would be,
isn't
he?
That's what made
true.
What made you venture there then?
I was just watching.
Is it Mother Care's closed? No. So I'm working. Still working from the old book today.
It's exactly. No.
You're of a size, Andy, that you could wear like one of those velvet pageboy outfits and make it look good, to make it stylish again. Yeah, quite possibly. Carry on.
No, it's absolutely fine. I think that's basically it. Good win for Wolves. I've written shot up the table.
Yeah,
but it shows this season because they've won 3 out of 5. But look how they were against West Ham. It's such a
bit of a soft goal. Again, that old Leeds thing of having a lot of the ball but not having a cutting edge.
Pedenti was offside. But it was unlucky. Yeah, it was a lovely goal there. Yeah, it was a shame, actually.
He was good business. He was one of those players. Mm. Often, when you play against a player that's good, and we played against him for Olympiacos, and he was very good that day, and you think, why didn't Tottenham have a look at him? They saw close up what he was capable of. I mean, he's a good player.
It's recruitment,
very
isn't
good
it?
Business yes, for yes, him. And he is Portuguese.
Yeah.
And that's really. And they wore the Portugal shirt.
They wore the
last
Portuguese
night.
Kit.
Great to see him.
Really does look good, doesn't it?
Great to see him in there.
Interesting, a lot of people concerned about Arsenal wearing blue on Saturday, which was ridiculous, obviously. But the Mail on Sunday criticised and said, and all three Arsenal shirts will set you back £100 each. I love the way newspapers do this. That, if you buy the one that the players wear, but nobody does, you can get the other one that's about 60, 70 quid with the one everybody wears. So stop saying they're 100 quid because they're not. Thank you. What are you going to do?
Have you invested in any of the kits?
No, not this season. Well, there's no point, is there? We want to wear it at home. Not great. I mean, you wear it to go to the stadium and show your support and make a wall of blue or white or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, no point in wearing it at home.
No. I'll tell you the other day, just for a bit of Friday football, our five-a-side football on a Friday, I bought last year's kit, which was down from fairly hefty £65 to £20, the away shirt, just to run around in and play. Mm. But they're a bit more cut than they used to be.
Gareth Bale, I noticed it on Sunday.
I'm one Greg sausage roll away from just it hugging the love handles a bit too much. You know, it's just, they're cut for a different shape. Mm. These days, I mean, it's not like the old capuchin, it's not like a Savoy skin.
They are,
but they taper in. You know, it's not like the old days, is it? Really? Yeah, and you saw that when you saw that picture of Theo Walcott. He wore the shirt that he last wore when he played for Southampton, and just billowing on him, it was enormous.
Well, I know.
That wasn't that long ago.
No, in the mid 90s, the shirts were like that. But probably. He wouldn't be playing in the mid-90s.
No, he wouldn't be. No, it's about 10 years, 11 years ago.
You see that, I think we knew this, but heart rates of football fans rocket by 69% while watching their team.
What a surprise. Yeah.
Trackers fitted to 200 supporters from each of the 20 Premier League clubs showed a typical 72 beats per minute resting figure, rising to an average of 127 during a game. Burnley were the worst, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
The fans suffered the most, Everton the least, and Chelsea, that's all right, except when Kepa plays, mine just goes through the roof.
There was Frank Lampard, a line today, we're going to come on to Chelsea. I'll give it to you. I'll tell you what, we'll talk to Terry about that very shortly, because line from Frank Lampard today, if I was Kepa, I wouldn't be buying a new bigger house near Chelsea's training ground, put it that way.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, as you'll be aware, there's been a fair bit of pushback on the pricing of the pay-per-view games in the Premier League. $14.95 for you to be too much. Even Slaven Bilic, the West Brom manager last night, was saying football should be not free but affordable. And I always used to say that football is not polo, football is not golf. Football is sport for masses, he says. It's a working class sport and it should be affordable to everybody. And the feeling is that $14.95 for games that until recently people were getting for nothing is pushing it a bit. A group of Newcastle fans decided that a better way to spend $14.95 was to donate it to their local food bank, and a number of other fans agree with them, and they've raised £20,000 so
terrific.
Far instead of watching the game against Manchester United on Saturday. Steve Hastie is a Newcastle fan and involved with the charity Not PPV, and he joins us now. Well done, Steve. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys.
Was this your idea? You were amongst others, or how did it all come about?
Well, it came about. Social media is a fantastic thing, isn't it? And one of the guys who runs a poll Twitter site on with Newcastle fans, he came up with the idea. Saw the $14.95, thought it was ridiculous, and came and put the idea forward and said, "What about if we all just made a donation?" Now, that's all well and good, but how you go ahead and make the donations another matter. And luckily for us guys who run the NUFC Fans Food Bank, we had a facility because we work closely with the West End Food Bank. So we said, you know, if you want to donate, use our donation point, which is an online portal. And it just took off from there. I think, you know, really to put it into context, you know, we've been outside St James's Park for the last four seasons collecting from Newcastle fans on behalf of the West End Food Bank. So this was just an extension of something Newcastle fans have been doing, as I say, for the last 4 years.
It's even more impressive when you think you were playing Manchester United. I mean, a lot of these pay-per-view games are the games that wouldn't necessarily be, well, they're not chosen by telly, so they're by definition probably lesser games. But that was a game that's normally on telly and a big fixture. So for fans to sort of make that sacrifice, it says a lot.
It certainly does, but I think also within context, I have to realise that the majority, if not all, of the 35,000 season ticket holders at Newcastle for a home game had already paid for to go and attend this game and are still waiting for a refund from the football club. So that was kind of a double-edged sword, if you like. It was a stab by the Premier League, and also we had this sort of Damocles hanging over us with not getting the refund from the club in the first place. So I suppose that kind of played into our hands in that respect, in terms of collections. But I think that, you know, what we have to look at is that, you know, that what we've done and what those donations have done have supported an organisation that feeds over 4,000 people in terms of emergency parcels every month. And since the lockdown, over 26,000 people have been directly fed by the West End Food Bank, including 40% of them being children. But normally, 30 to 35% of the revenue that the West End Food Bank receives comes from football fans on a match day, on the collections and on various other sponsored supporter-led initiatives. So that in itself has been a massive hole that we've been trying to fill since the lockout.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a tweet from you saying £15 feeds three local families for a week. So, I mean, that puts it into some kind of perspective, really, doesn't it? An hour and a half of football, you feed three families. And it's because of the fine work Marcus Rashford has done. I think it's an area that people know about, don't they? They know about sort of food poverty and issues like that in this country. And I think they're keen to support it.
Absolutely, and I think if we take it back to the pay-per-view situation, I think the events surrounding that were just a reaction by supporters themselves who felt that, you know, we've already been exploited by broadcasters in the Premier League. The mixed messages that the Premier League put out when they announced the $14.95 didn't help. Certainly helped the cause that we were pushing, because, you know, we did hear that it was $14.95 and it was going to be the benefit of the clubs. Then we heard the price was put forward by the broadcasters, and the broadcaster said no, it was put by the Premier League.
It's so great, isn't it?
In this ridiculous sort of charade that they seem to be playing, and the people who are suffering at the end of the day are the football fans.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree with Steve on this. I mean, and it's a bit like the thing we were talking about with the PGMOL and who in the Premier League and who said what. And this conflicting thing where both parties blame the other party, and it doesn't help. You just like to know, why doesn't somebody just be honest and say, yeah, well, it was us?
The other thing not being honest about, of course, is telling you what the figures are. I saw a journalist tweeting the other day, they asked the broadcasters what were the pay-per-view figures, and the response was, we won't be sharing the pay-per-view numbers as they are commercially sensitive. So, which is very interesting. And I think I think that a movement has been started here. I'm a member of the Spurs Supporters Trust, and saw them tweeting earlier on, Steve, that he said, we've been contacted by a number of members about donating to a local food bank in lieu of paying $14.95 to watch our game against Brighton. And they've got a food bank link here. I think it's the Tottenham Food Bank. So I think you're going to see more and more clubs taking up what Newcastle fans have done, and this could be the start of something.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we know that it's happening at Burnley. We know that the Leeds fans have done exactly the same for a pay-per-view game that they've got coming up. Manchester City, Manchester United fans, and obviously we know that the fans in Liverpool, both Everton and Liverpool fans themselves, who work fantastically well together under their supporters groups, following the same sort of cause. So that in itself, I mean, you know, and the other thing to remember is football fans, they're not just green against, but this is community that they're trying to support. It's their own community, and you know, we look after our own, don't we, when times are hard. And you know, we've got fans who've gone out there, they've done online auctions. I mean, I think it was £26,000 or £28,000 raised by Newcastle fans just last month on online auctions that went directly to the food bank. We've been selling memorabilia, their own memorabilia that they've had because they know it will come good. We've got fans who are designing their own pin badges, and all the proceeds are going that way. So football fans are being fantastic in that respect. And I'm not surprised, because that's what football fans are all about.
Good stuff, Steve. Well, well done. It's good news for the food bank, and we'll see how this develops. But good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Cheers, guys. Have a good afternoon.
There we are. There's Steve Hasty there from the Newcastle United Football Food Bank, and the fine work they're doing. They're on Twitter. You can follow them. And I say, as you said, a number of other clubs in a similar situation are choosing to do the same thing with their 15 quid. The thing is, had it been the same as I follow, had it been £9.95, people wouldn't. This wouldn't have happened.
No.
So for a fiver, the Premier League are having lots and lots of people, because it was, you know, it goes back to that 20 is plenty thing. There is a line in the sand for supporters, and they crossed it. And I think it's that lack of understanding.
Because you've already paid quite a lot to have Sky and BT. So you know, it's, of course, it's ridiculous.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. We'll be chatting to the football politics expert from Associated Press, Rob Harris, in the next 15 minutes, and we'll try and find out a little bit more about this story from Sky News that suggests that Liverpool and Manchester United are in talks about a new FIFA-backed tournament, which could be called the European Premier League.
If you want to turn people off football, this is the best way to go about it. What Manchester United and Liverpool have done in the last couple of weeks, honestly, most people will look at this and go, why don't you just leave it alone?
Yeah.
Are you happy with what you've got?
Apparently as many as five English clubs are involved in the conversation. So Rob, I'm sure, will be finding out more, and we'll catch up with him shortly. But before that, on a lighter note, an altogether more positive, is a musical on the life of one of the all-time greats of world football, Johan Cruyff. The musical celebrates his number 14. It's called 14, the musical, and Tom Duquette is an actor and indeed writer of the musical. Good afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon. First of all, I have to excuse myself for my English. It's not very good.
That's all right. Better than our Dutch.
Far better than our Dutch. So we'll soldier on. So so where did this idea come from then, Tom? Obviously, you're a big fan of Cruyff.
Yes, I'm a big fan. I've seen him play when I was younger. Well, he is absolutely our national hero. And it's been 5 years that he is gone now. And I was asked if I wanted to think about making a musical tribute to our national hero. And well, I had to think about that, because it's always difficult to make something about a man which everybody has an opinion over.
Yes.
it's a delicate, still a delicate matter. But for me, he is so interesting because he was very opinionated also. He was an idealist, and I think he had also a very dramatic life. Not many people know that because they see his life as a success story, but he has had very, very much difficulties. So that's interesting for if you're making theatre.
That's true. I mean, he's one of the most important figures in the history of football. I think that's undeniable. I mean, did you start reading biographies of his? I mean, how much you must have had to do quite a lot of research. Everything. Yeah, I bet.
I've read almost everything, but there is such amount of books. I mean, in Holland, maybe more than 100 books about him, right. And it is even, and it's just out. It's a professor has made a very big book about him, but scientifically, but every things he was outspoken about, everything he talked about, he has categorized that in a very big book, scientifically. So
now we understand Cruyff himself, Tom, doesn't sing. Much of the singing and dancing and everything goes on around him. But I'd like to think one of the
is that the van der Kerkhoffs?
Yeah. One of the dance moves must be the Cruyff turn. They must be working on a one and a two and a turn, surely.
Of course. we chose the four because everybody knew he couldn't sing.
He has
produced one hit, and it was awful to hear.
Let's try and find that.
I thought, well, that would be not right to have a Cruyff. No, but he talks and he raps and he is sort of spoken word. So musical, he is very, it's very important.
Yeah.
That he is there musically, but in spoken word, in rap, because maybe you in England don't realize that also the way he spoke, it was a not typical Dutch. It was, he had his own speak.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? His own accent.
And everybody knows his way of speaking because he, it was a sort of Amsterdam.
Like a slang. Was it an Amsterdam slang?
Slang. Yeah. Very creative.
Wow.
Nobody understood exactly what he said, but he had a way with words.
Yeah. So fantastic.
That's for theatre also very interesting.
We're out of time, Tom, but just very quickly tell us when we can see the musical. Will it be next year, all being well? We're back in theatres?
Next year, September.
Brilliant.
Okay. We'll open. Yeah.
We'll speak to you again just before
hopefully
you
we'll
open.
Come for
Tom.
The premiere.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Tom
bye-bye.
De Ket there, the Dutch actor and writer behind 14 the Musical. I've found the pop song. It was a bit like when Kevin Keegan made Head Over Heels. I found the pop song. We'll play it to you later that Cruyff sang.
I like the idea of a football rap musical with Ian Hamilton.
Ian Hamilton. That'll be in there, won't it? You'll be able to get Chirpy Chirpy Cheep Cheep in there. So, there'll be our one for the Albion fans there. West Brom, sorry.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We gingen naar het boksen kijken van een verre neef. Wat kreeg die jongen klappen, want die ander was op dreef.
Do you want to know the words?
You
know the tune.
I did that turn and then it happened and I scored a wonderful goal.
This is the chorus. That's Johan Cruyff.
Yes.
We were talking early on about 14, the musical, with Tom De Ket, the man behind it, and he said, Cruyff doesn't sing because I'm afraid he couldn't sing.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Well, it wasn't great. I mean, the solo wasn't that. You're a man who can't sing either. That's why.
No. It was, how dare you?
It sounded quite terrible. So there we are. That's why Johan Cruyff will not be, well, obviously, the character playing him will not be singing in the musical. But do you ever see him play, Andy?
No.
I saw him play against Spurs for I think it was final. Yeah, when we in the one we went on to win, of course, the UEFA Cup. And he scored in that game. We beat him at White Hart Lane, but it was kind of towards the end of his career.
I mean, really, Chelsea were in Europe at that point.
He wasn't.
To be really honest,
I think you might have been in. You're probably in Division Three, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I did see him play, but not in his pomp. Yeah.
Right. And now, do you see that Lewis Hamilton has also written some songs?
Lewis Hamilton, has he? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
In one track, he sings, "I knew it from the moment you walked through the door, you the one. I only saw you one time, baby. I want more. You can have your way. If you treat me right, I'm sure." Sounds tremendous, doesn't
it? Can we clip that? I thought Andy saying that really brought it to life. It sounds like maybe he was. There might be a little message to the missus.
In another song, the way he did that
was beautiful.
"All night I've been drinking way too much. Well, I hope you're not driving the next day."
That's true. Definite breathalyzers all round, boys. Yeah.
Hold on.
What are the other?
A bit fruity.
There might be words you don't understand, Andy, that you might put out there.
Lewis sings, "Caught you lying. It's like a sad song on the radio, breaking my heart. I can't let it go." Lovely, isn't it?
It's beautiful, yeah. That all sounds very promising.
Yes.
The unlikeliest of men has offered to run around town naked. I don't know if you saw it. Mark Cooper, manager of Forest Green Rovers, said that if they beat Stevenage at the weekend, he would run around town naked. And they did. But he's now said, "I definitely won't be doing that. I'll put a few people off their dinner." Well, you can't be talking the talk, Mark, really.
Yeah.
I think for a few quid, I'm sure the boys at Forest Green and Dale, they'll all dip money into their pocket. Actually, it's against the law, isn't it? It's obscene. So no, don't do it, Mark. Don't do it. Definitely.
You see, Britain could face a shortage of tracksuit bottoms.
Have you been to the average Sports Direct?
That's what it says here. It says, "Retailers are struggling to keep up with pandemic-related surge in demand." Surely that's just people lounging around their house, not having to go to work.
That's it.
Can't be for exercise.
They're wearing a lounge pant, aren't they? That's right. You can still find plenty of pairs, you would think. I find that quite hard to believe.
And Bill Clinton's golf clubs are up for auction.
I did see that, yeah.
They come with a free mulligan.
Yeah.
And a book on how to cheat.
Yeah.
It's been tremendous.
I did see that, Andy. Yeah, I reckon they're going to go for a fair bit of money, don't they? I understand.
Was it 14 grand or something?
Something like that, yeah. I've got
19 grand.
Do you know, I said to you I was going to buy you for Christmas in Hamleys the Ferrari scooter. Said I'd get you that.
That would be nice.
I'll tell you what, this is nice. Louis Vuitton have got their own kite. You can get a Louis Vuitton kite. It's that's right. It's it's a basically a kite with the company logos on.
£1,000?
£6,650. Also, imagine it's a kite. What if the string breaks and you lose it? It's very easy. It gets caught in a tree or something. I mean, for £6,500, you're going to scale it, aren't you?
For £6,500, you're going to be an idiot.
It's all part of a new sports and games range that Louis Vuitton are doing. Any professional footballers driving home from training, listen up. You can get some dumbbells for £1,800. Table tennis bats for £1,500, Andy. So you and Sue, you can have your Louis Vuitton £1,500. A £450 skipping rope.
Marvellous.
Do they sing "The King is in the altogether"?
Well, the only thing I always say is the same thing about these things. You're not forced to buy it. If you want to buy it, you're an idiot, but that's it. You know,
there'll be someone in one of the tabloids tomorrow saying, "Oh, my son, he insisted on having the Louis Vuitton kite. Now it's cost me £660.
Yeah, you're an idiot if you do that.
Exactly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states.
United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Whatever happened to Leon Trotsky? He got an ice pick that made his ears burn. Whatever happened to...
Great. Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. We're going to talk about a fairly bizarre tale from the world of rugby later on. Keep you in touch with this European Super League story as it develops. If it does develop in the next day, I'm sure there'll be more in Drive. And we'll look ahead to tonight in the Championship and the EFL with Ian Dant, who will be over on TalkSport 2 this evening. But before all of that, make the welcome return to the studio the former Stranglers frontman, cricket fan and novelist. His third novel, Future Tense, is out now. Hugh Cornwell, good to see you, Hugh.
Hello, guys. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's been a while. We haven't seen you for a couple of years since your last album was out. But not your first novel. This, you've written a couple of novels before, haven't you?
Yeah, this is the third one. This took a bit longer because it's... it's set in the future and nobody knows what's going to happen, right?
Yeah,
that's true.
And in fact, when I sort of mapped out the world in which was this thriller was going to take place, I completely overlooked pandemics.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So I'll hold my hand up if everyone's reading it and they go, but there's nothing about pandemics in here. It's because I completely forgot to put anything in there. So I was sideswiped. I put hold my hand up, culpable.
It is a kind of dystopian tale, though. Include, I mean, something that has been sort of talked about in sort of far-reaching circles is this idea of a fat tax. And this is what you say
Absolutely.
In the book. It's a tax on the obese that the government bring in, you say.
Well,
a government bring in.
Well, it's only recently that obesity has been recognised as a medical condition that is harmful, right? For a long time... I mean, 100 years ago, a beautiful woman was quite large in a painting because it meant she was well-fed, and so desirable. So it's only recently that being obese or overweight has been realised. And if it goes on, it's just going to it's going to drain the resources of the medical service, just like COVID is. So it's the medical services won't be able to cope with all the other things. So if obesity is something that people could actually do something about, not everyone can. I mean, some of them are metabolic disorders, so you can't do anything about it. But the only way to get people to do something is through their pocket. And that was my...
That was your starting point for the novel. But it goes into different areas. It goes into a bit of sort of... it's in the States and it goes into the sort of organised crime and different areas like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, and the Middle East has been devastated by torrential rains and it's already started. Their rainfall's gone up. And all the foundations of all these huge skyscrapers and everything are being undermined. So... everyone's got to leave the Middle East and they go to Florida because they can make all their gardens there.
Oh, okay.
And Florida is the new centre of the world food industry because starvation has been erased, cancer's been cured, and the big killer is suicide because nobody's got anything to worry about anymore.
That's interesting.
Interesting thought process. How have you been during the virus, Sir Hugh? What you been up to? Have you been
writing
this?
Most of the things that I do, apart from live shows, which are sorely being missed by everybody, most things I do are solitary. Mm. Like writing a song. If I'm recording a song, I'm in a studio with my engineer or maybe one musician. So I've been fortunate that I can still continue doing stuff and being creative during the summer. I just feel sorry for all these you know, classical musicians that play for a living.
Yeah,
what can they do?
Yeah, if you're in the sort of pit orchestras or you're playing in orchestras and stuff, you can't work, can you? A lot of rock. I mean, you know, you'd probably be going out playing live at a certain point, and that's not an opportunity at the moment.
No, it's all been put back.
Yeah. I mean, there was some sad news as well during lockdown. The Stranglers keyboard player Dave Greenfield died of a kind of corona-related illness, which was terrible because he was so much part of the band sound. He really made you stand out as a band in those early days.
Well, the only punk band with a keyboard player.
Yeah.
I think.
And with a really distinctive sound and a great musician as well.
Yeah, and a lovely guy. I mean, people don't realise, unless they knew him well, that he was a lovely guy. And he had time for everybody and very unpunk, actually. Good sense of humour. Drank and smoked like a trooper.
Yeah.
He did very well to last as long as he did, considering the amount
his lifestyle,
that I saw. His lifestyle. So, sad loss.
Yeah.
You're looking good, though, Hugh. I mean, do you sort of train? Do you keep yourself fit?
Well, I fell off my bike yesterday, so I'm limping a bit at the moment.
Oh, right.
I seriously grazed my knee, but... But I went swimming today to remind it that it can't stop. it'll get better.
And you're a huge cricket fan, of course. It was a decent summer, wasn't it?
Somehow they turned out
some great games.
Yeah, and I think we're going to Pakistan. It's just been.
Yeah, we were chatting last week.
South Africa is being. Yeah, it's being confirmed as well, I think.
So it looks like this is cricket heaven.
And the IPL, which is fantastic.
It's unbelievable cricket, this.
Deccan, they could completely walk away with it.
So you're probably into the IPL, enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, every afternoon at 3 o'clock, you know, what else can you do?
That's perfect, isn't it, for cricket?
Yeah. A cup of tea.
Andy does that. The trouble is he doesn't finish work till 4, I've noticed. Every afternoon he downs tools at 3 o'clock.
That's really harsh.
Watches the IPL.
I do like it on the weekend, though, when they have two games. Try to fit it in between the football as well. It was a bit mad.
Are you still writing songs at the moment as well? Are you still working on new material? Because the last album was a couple of years ago when you came
Monster,
and saw it.
Yeah. I've just got a new one called Moments of Madness, which I'm working on at the moment.
Okay.
And it's going very well.
So do you find writing songs easier than writing novels or your autobiography?
Well, you can do it a bit quicker. I think the longest it's taken me ever to write a song is about 3 months. Black hair, black eyes, black suit. A solo song took me about 3 months.
So is that because you got the core of it, and then you just sort of keep coming back to it and adding? Is that lyrically or musically that takes longer?
Both, and it's not gelling together. So you put it down, you come back to it, and the longest was about 3 months. I remember that took a long time, but I mean, a book, you know, I mean, this one's taken 10 years from when I got the first idea.
Yeah. What was the Stranglers process? Were they band written songs, or would you or different members of the band come with? How did that tend to work as a band? Hits, for example.
Yeah, well, at the beginning, John, the bass player, and me would do a lot of writing together, and then as we developed and got to know about songwriting, he'd come up with songs and I'd come up with songs, and then occasionally I'd catch Dave playing something amazing, and hey presto, Golden Brown.
So he was playing that riff from Golden Brown, and that's and
I walked in and I said, "What's that's that thing you keep playing, isn't it?" And he said, "Yeah, it's good, isn't it?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Is it yours?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, we've been looking at this completely wrongly. This has got to be a song. This can't fit in with anything else. It's got to be its own song." And he loved that.
Yeah. And did you did the sort of melody for it just sort of come out of him? Did it come quite easily?
It took 10 minutes. It really literally took
very
10
lucrative
minutes.
10 minutes, I imagine.
Didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
Didn't know at the
Amazing.
Time.
So where can people buy the book, Hugh?
Online.
Yeah.
It's on Amazon, all good Amazon links. And I think you can get it as an e-book as well.
Okay. Yeah. And are you immediately working on a new one? Or are you,
I've got a Western on the go.
Oh, wow.
That's good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Because that was a pretty hot format back in the day. We used to get a lot of kind of cowboy Western writing, didn't you, over the years?
When was the last Western? Good Western, new Western that you saw?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you've done the cover art and the design.
I did that. Well, you know, I had a lot of time in lockdown.
You've got Alan Brazil in there.
Yeah, listen.
Alan Brazil.
On the cover, all those elements, they all mean something, including that weird-shaped blob behind his head in blue and yellow. But once you read the book, it will become clear... what they all are. They're all sort of elements of the story, you see.
Wow, yeah, fantastic. Good. So go and check it out. It's called Future Tense, a novel by Hugh Cornwell, and he said it's available on Amazon and online and elsewhere. And, well, brilliant. Lovely to see you as always.
Great to see you guys in a new setting.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. And look after yourself and come and see us when you've got the next book or indeed the next album.
Long may you continue doing what you do.
Oh, bless you. Thank you very much. And Adrian will be gutted. Adrian Durham's not in today. He always loves to see. He's a massive Stranglers fan. And Stuart Pearce, of course. Stuart's a huge Stranglers fan. You must have come across the old England footballer.
That's right. I know he's... Yeah, but I've never met him.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're the rest of the band mentioned. Yeah, yeah,
Nick, we'll work on that. We'll work on that.
All right.
Stuart's learned to play the drums at the moment.
Is he?
So if...
I can't help him there. It's the one thing I can't play.
Just the idea of a guest. If he could guest with you. You are, that would be marvellous, wouldn't it? All right, we'll leave it with you. Thanks, you all the best. Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Among our guests tomorrow would be the 60-year-old woman darts player who's qualified for Ali Pali for the first time. It's quite a story. And she never thought it'd happen, but she'll tell us more about that tomorrow, amongst other things. And that's it, isn't it? We've got other things. We'll look back on the football. Good. Enjoy the game tonight.
Well, I'll try to.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Score a bank account boosting 5K in cash simply by identifying Trevor Sinclair's former teammate from the following clues.
He played for Chelsea and West Ham. He won over 100 international caps. He scored a goal that wasn't a goal for England in South Africa.
Text WIN and your answer to 63320. Text costs £2 plus normal sending charge. Entries close 6 p.m. Friday, October 23rd. 18 plus. Please gamble responsibly. See talksport.com/competitions for terms and conditions.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.